Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
At the time of the Lord Jesus' ministry here on earth, there seemed to be many people and children also who were affected by satanic spirits. Such spirits, or demons, reduce a person's ability to function in society, sometimes completely taking them down to the level of a wild animal. An Asian woman was so controlled by evil spirits that she was restrained like a dog with a neck collar and a chain. She howled at night like a wild animal, but had such superhuman strength. One day she broke loose, and it took four policemen with all the strength they could muster to get her into the back of a paddy wagon and back on her chain. In every case where the family of a possessed person turned to the Lord Jesus for help to be rid of evil spirits and the destructive behavior that they caused, Jesus healed them. He did this in kindness. At one stage in his ministry, he sent his disciples out to preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Another time, he sent 70 out, and they returned rejoicing that even the demons obeyed them. As the centuries passed, many people groups seemed to lose their knowledge about God and developed evil practices controlled by witch doctors. Most tribes had a belief system of fear about evil spirits, but when reached by Christian missionaries, in time, the Lord Jesus will set them free. Today's Bible adventure is about casting out evil spirits.
I just heard something about that man from Nazareth. I talked to someone who actually saw with his own eyes the man heal a blind man.
Blind? And he saw again? Actually could see?
That's what the man said.
How can a man do such things when the priests can't?
Yes, you're right. You know, dear, I'm beginning to believe the things we heard about that man from Nazareth. Perhaps this man is the Messiah.
Just wishful thinking, and you know it. This man from Nazareth doesn't even act like a king. He even wears the clothes of a peasant. He simply can't be the Messiah, a king.
I guess you're right.
You heard something else about the man from Nazareth.
How could you tell?
The expression on your face.
He cast evil spirits out of two men over in Gergesa. The blind see, the lame walk, even the dead are brought to life by this man called Jesus. If he can do all these things, he can cast the evil spirits out of our son.
But a mere man cannot have that much power. Only the Messiah could have that sort of power. There's nothing about him, his clothes, his appearance, his bearing, that would indicate him to be the Messiah.
You're right, the way we have been taught to think of the promised Messiah. But think along these lines. God is love. What is love? How is love expressed? By doing for our fellow beings, by kindness, sympathy, acts of love, and healing the sick, and bringing comfort to the soul, these things certainly fulfill all the requirements of real love. Jesus fills these requirements, and therefore could very well be the Messiah.
Yes, he could be, if he shows that kind of love and compassion. Yes, he could be the Messiah.
I'm going to take our son to see Jesus. He will heal our son. He will. I know he will.
Faith?
Yes, faith. I have faith that Jesus can and will cast out the evil spirits who control and possess our son.
What may we do for you?
I am looking for the man from Nazareth named Jesus.
The boy, you seek help for him?
Yes, sir. Evil spirits possess him, and I know Jesus can cast them out.
So can we.
You? Cast out devils?
We are the disciples of Jesus. He has conferred upon us authority over unclean spirits. They will obey our command to leave the boy.
Will you? Oh, will you?
Of course. You have faith?
Oh, yes, yes, I do, I do.
Then, in the name of the Master, Jesus of Nazareth, I command thee, evil spirit, torture this boy no more. Leave him, now. I say, evil spirit, leave the boy. Something's gone wrong. We have failed. Disgraced ourselves and the master.
Yes, you have failed.
And I'll tell you why. You and your master are deceivers, just as High Priest Caiaphas said. Now we know it is true.
Yes. You serve the chief evil spirit. He is your true master, not God. Satan does not obey you. You obey him.
It is Jesus with three of his disciples.
Ye scribes and Pharisees, what question ye with my disciples?
Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath an evil spirit. And whithersoever the spirit taketh my son, he tears and tortures him. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.
Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring thy son hither.
Yes, Lord.
How long is it since this came unto him?
Long years ago, Master. Many years has my son suffered and been tortured. Many times has he... Oh, Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Lord, I believe... Help me to believe more.
Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him.
He's dead. Killed him.
An evil spirit killed him.
Jesus is lifting the lad by the hand.
I present to thee thy son in perfect soundness of mind and body.
The terms unclean spirit, demon, devils, evil spirits, deaf and mute spirit are all used in the Bible to denote satanic control over a person. Christians well practiced in casting out demons tell us that demons have their own personalities just as people do. Demons also have different functions, just as a person can be a baker or butcher or shopkeeper. So some demons cause illness and depression, blindness or deafness. These problems may also be the demon's name. There are different types of satanic control, including 1, an unbelief in Jesus, God's Son, and his message of salvation. 2, oppression and or subtle temptation by an evil spirit. And 3, bodily demonic possession. Demonic oppression and possession are two different things. Oppression is when a person is plagued by a vexing, upsetting thought or emotion that comes from an external evil spirit. Demon possession is where a demon takes over the internal rulership of a person's heart and mind, causing them to lose sense of their own actions and instead be submissive to the evil spirit's tyrannical, controlling nature. The Bible tells Christians to test the spirits and listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance for what is true and right in their hearts. Some of the signs of demonic influence can be confused with commonly accepted health problems, such as madness and mental illness, irrational emotional breakdowns, fearfulness and phobias, dark depression and repetitive personality weaknesses, such as abuse, anger, hate or lust. As these same symptoms can result from poor physical health conditions or wrong medication, Christians need to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in what is the best course of action. How can a normal person become demon-possessed? People can do this by opening up their minds to demonic control through addictive drugs, dabbling in occultic practices or seeking knowledge about the future, such as fortune tellers or tarot card reading. Demons can also enter a person by traumatic experiences, rejection, abuse, repeated sins and unforgiveness towards another. As shown in today's drama, children too can be demon-possessed, as is told from the Gospel of Mark chapter 9. Yet, how could a child get involved in any of these things just mentioned? This particular child had been demon-possessed since infancy. The Bible teaches that demon possession can be handed down from one generation to another. The sin or curse of a parent or grandparent can be automatically passed on to a child. But the good news is that the child can also be taught to stop having night terrors or spells of great distress by telling the evil spirit, Jesus, God's Son, said, leave. Demons also have different strengths. There are different ranks of demons listed in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. In today's drama, just as Jesus with Peter, James, and John were returning from Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain, they came upon a dispute between the other disciples and some teachers of the law. The other disciples found that when they tried to cast out the mute spirit, they couldn't get it to leave. When the child's father asked Jesus to help this boy, Jesus told the father that everything is possible if a person has faith. The father cried out, "I do have faith, but not enough. Help me have more." Jesus then commanded the deaf and dumb spirit to come out of the boy. The demon obeyed Jesus, but left the boy looking as though dead. But Jesus took the boy by the hand and helped him up. Later, the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't cast out the demon. Jesus indicated that for stronger demons, the disciples needed a level of faith obtainable only through prayer and fasting. There are also different levels of bondage. The more a person gets involved in the demonic realm, the more they come under its power and influence. Deliverance from evil spirits should be attempted soon after the spirits are noticed. Evil spirits and demons work tirelessly to bring a person into bondage, get a worldly lifestyle, and thus enslaved in many sinful habits. In John chapter 2 it says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from this world." There is little point in casting out demons from a person who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself warned in Matthew chapter 12 that any cast out demon will return with seven more demons more powerful than the first, and this person will then be much worse off than before. Jesus' protection of God's Holy Spirit for Christians is part of the new covenant Jesus represents, which doesn't apply to unbelievers. Can Christians come into demonic bondage? The experts say that there are many Christians living in bondage, and when the demons are cast out and leave, it's like a night-to-day difference in the Christian's life. Some lower-level demons can leave of their own accord as the Christian grows in his spiritual life in the Lord. There is a mistaken idea, however, that when people become Christians, they will automatically shed all the demonic bondages at the time of salvation. The moment we're born again, our spirits are reborn, and the Holy Spirit is united with our spirit. Yet the soul or mind of a person is not instantly reborn as the spirit is. Rather, Christians are told to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is a process we have to work at by Bible study. Our minds are where the demons seek control, not our spirits. So there's no reason to believe that a Christian is immune from demonic bondage before their mind is renewed over time. Are we to fear demons? No. But we have to remember that demons are stronger than human beings. It's only the Lord Jesus in our lives that can give us victory over Satan and his demons, and we need to use Jesus' name wisely. There is no other name and power to use against Satan and his demons. Satan knows people better than they know themselves. He knows each weakness and uses tactics to attack those areas or circumstances where we're most vulnerable. When we're under attack from Satan and his demons, a good scripture to keep in our minds is James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. As the scripture says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So then, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will run away from you." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.